Welcome to Heart of the Matter Radio with author and host Cynthia L. Simmons. How does a godly woman live in a world out of sync? Cynthia digs into the issues women face in our complex culture to set a path through the chaos. It's for women seeking the elegance of God's wisdom. So prepare yourself to listen, learn, and rest. Now here's your host, Cynthia L. Simmons.
Suicide. It destroys a life, but it hurts everybody. About 10 years ago, there was a brilliant young man in our church with a charismatic personality. He was emblematic as well as fun, but people liked him. But for some reason, he had an obsession with suicide. He talked about it and he wrote about it, even though he came from a loving family and didn't appear depressed. Our youth pastor often talked to him about the topic and made him promise never to do it. My husband and I went to a theater one night that young people attended, and that particular evening they had an open mic. This young man got up and read a poem about suicide, and it was so intense that my husband and I were very alarmed, and my husband went and talked to his dad. And his dad kind of shrugged it off and said, you know, it's kind of what kids are talking about these days and all that, but we felt like we'd said something. But unfortunately, a few months after that, the parents found a note, and then when they searched for the son, they found that he'd parked his car somewhere and committed suicide. That rattled us so badly. The mother and father were, of course, devastated, and I remember the funeral. The mother wore sunglasses so that people couldn't see how she had cried. I mean, I'm sure she was just, you know, her face was just terribly red. And my husband felt guilty that he hadn't said more and been more aggressive in the way he's talked to the father, because, you know, the kid was talking about it, which is a really big sign that kids are going to do it. But it turns out that everybody in the church, even people that hardly knew him, felt guilty because they felt like they should have done something or said something to prevent this young man from doing this, because he was a very promising kid. You know, it was just sad for everybody. You know, the Lord gives life and he restores life. That's what redemption is all about, that he makes us alive spiritually when we come to him. But it's Satan's lie that death is better than life. But you know, Jesus has conquered death. Hebrews 2:14 says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, which is us, he, Jesus, also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Today I have Christina Rose, and she is going to be sharing about that very topic on suicide, and she has a story to tell and then some guidance and advice for those of us who have lived through this horror. Welcome, Christina Rose.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here. About 40 years ago, I was 21 years old and my father was 49, and he worked for the government. And he became despondent. He had always been a pretty easygoing guy, but he was very, very sensitive. He tended to take on the feelings of the people around him, and he was very introverted. Now, he also was a very religious man. He read his Bible every day. We went to church. Well, he got to a place where all of us kids were in college. We were gone. The bills were piling up, and he became extremely introverted, and he talked about it, but we never really thought he would take it to that next level. We were just shocked. One day he went to work at the Department of Commerce building and he jumped off the building. It made national headlines. I was 21. I was called home. There were TV cameras in the front yard. My mother was crying and I mean, we were just shocked. And to some degree, today we still are, but it has been quite a long time. And so I've had the opportunity to process and try to digest why it happens, how it happens, how to possibly prevent it, and how to take care of yourself after someone who is close to you, whether in your family or community, after this happens. I think the common emotion is guilt. Number one, what could I have done to stop this? What? And every day you ask yourself, and I did receive counseling for it, and I was told, you know, if someone's really determined to do something, they're going to do it no matter what you do or don't do. And so the best thing you can do is just, if you want to honor that person's memory, don't walk around with a sack of guilt on your shoulder. Don't do it. Forgive them. Forgive anybody associated with them. Bless them. Take care of yourself every day and do whatever you can to fight that emotion and that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness that sometimes comes with this. Now, my opinion it about suicide because it's, I've studied it. It's increasing rapidly at this point among all ages, gender, ethnicity. It's just seeming to be a sign of the times where people are feeling very intense and anxious about the state of the world, especially our young kids. You know, they have school loans, they see these school shootings. It's making everyone anxious. So my feeling is it's spiritual warfare. There are a lot of people who say, oh, just take a pill, you're ill. Well, with my father, they kept telling him, oh, you're ill, you take meds. That only makes somebody feel even worse. They already feel like a loser anyway. And then you're telling them they're ill and they're crazy. And that just makes things worse. They just, you know, close up, clam up even more. Instead, we are spiritual beings and we operate, we're motivated by love. And as Fred Rogers said, he said, everything revolves around love or the lack of it. So when I look back on my dad, I think we all should have just, we didn't realize how desperate he was. If we had all just circled him with constant love, tried to help him to open up and feel valuable enough that he could share with us how he was really feeling and encourage him that there's always a way out. You know, people commit suicide because they're afraid. They feel that's the only resort. That's a, if there's a dead end, they have no future. And they feel guilty maybe for feeling depressed or feeling alone or having these thoughts. And I will share that as I watched my dad go through this, there were days it was almost like this big vulture was sitting on his shoulder, whispering in his ear, you know, it's hopeless. There's, you know, it's almost like I could feel that. And I'm like, why doesn't he get rid of that voice that won't leave him alone, you know? And so I think it's, we're being called. Anybody who's had an experience like this, I can't sit still. When I see a young person who's taken their life, I think I've got to get out there and talk about this because it is spiritual warfare. It is. And whatever we can do to help these people from not dying in vain, use what happened to them to learn and to grow and prevent other people from doing this, I feel that's a mission. It's just, we can't sit back. We have to just get to the forefront and speak up about it and tell people, you're not really ill. You just, we all have voices in our heads. Excuse me. You know, in the morning, you know, what time should I get up? What cup of coffee? Whatever. So there is, as Joyce Myers would say, a battlefield going on in your mind all the time. And you have to learn to control those thoughts and recognize them and, you know, get rid of evil ones and keep the good ones. And if you have problems doing that, talk to other believers, get yourself in a support group and share and help yourself be pulled back into a safe place on a mental level. So,
Initially, just say that you have a family who somebody committed suicide. What would you do for that family? Comforting, how could you comfort them and be there for them during that early time?
Well, we also had, in fact, it was very interesting how this happened. My dad passed away. He was 49 and I was 21. And the pastor of our church had a son my age who I grew up with. Well, right after my dad committed suicide, the son committed suicide. So here is our pastor talking about this, and they come over to comfort us. And then the next thing you know, their son commits suicide. And so the best thing you can do is just reassure people that don't carry your guilt around. You know, surround the family with love and support and just nothing but compassion, no judgment of any kind. Just say, hey, these things happen. We don't expect them to happen. But, you know, our souls and our spirits are eternal. And to believe that even though they can't see their son or their child or their loved one, they're still alive. Souls don't die. It's just the body. So just everything to show these people compassion and love and help them not feel guilty, help them not feel anxious, help them trust that there is a plan for us all.
Does it make it more common if somebody in the family, like a parent, commits suicide? Does that make it more likely that the child or one of the children will later do that since they see that as a coping method?
Well, I actually know of a family where the father committed suicide. Then a son committed suicide in the same family, and then another one. So this poor mom or wife, she was burying her two children and the father. Now, the statistics I did read, and it shows that if one person in the family commits suicide, there's a greater chance that somebody else will commit suicide in the family. But the way I look at it, again, rather than be biological, I think of it as spiritual warfare, where if something demonic gets into a family, they think, oh, I took one out. Now the rest of them are weak because they're anxious and depressed and worried. So I'll just take a few more out. You know, they figure, hey, if I can take one, I can take some more, you know. So we had, when my father took his life, we all went through a lot of trauma. And I had one sister who was in and out of rehab. She was in jail, you know, always having problems because she just couldn't get over my dad's death. And she's fine now, but it does send shockwaves of anxiety into a family, which will weaken them. And they are, I think, more susceptible to the spiritual warfare. So, yes, I think that's true.
Is there a type of personality that's more prone?
Yes, I will. I'll share that. In fact, I live in Colorado now, but I moved here from Marin County, California, 2 years ago, and actually had Robin Williams as my neighbor. And he committed suicide, as we all know. Now, he used to remind me so much of my dad. And my dad was funny. He was charming. He was like a little kid sometimes. But he was extremely sensitive. He could feel, it was a gift because he could help people, but he could feel people's pain. He could feel it. And I have two daughters, and we had a terrible storm, lots of, you know, power out, everything. And my one daughter called me and said, Mom, are you okay? And I said, yes. And my other daughter called me and said, Mom, I've been up all night worried about the homeless people, okay? So number two, the sensitive one who feels everything and, you know, just it comes in waves, that personality, I believe, is more susceptible to being a victim of this. And they have to guard their hearts and their minds a little harder than the ones who are just, you know, going from A to B. So the sensitive one is the one who I think is more susceptible to this sort of thing.
You see somebody that, you know, has that temperament. What can you do to bolster them? You know, and I agree with you. I think it is spiritual warfare because I think as God is the life giver, Satan wants to convince us that death is better and wants to hold it over our head. So how can we talk to them and bolster them in such a way that they don't go there?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I like how you frame it because it's been 40 years since my dad took his life. I've had a lot of time to think about it, to study about it, and because it's increasing so much now, it's hard for me to see all these kids being put on meds and things. And what they really need is they need a caring ear. They need someone to care. We're in a stage now where many of the households are both parents are out working, no one's at home, and the kids are seeing violence all around them. They need someone to care. So I've had to do that with my situation. My older daughter, she needs more of my time. She just needs it. And so if you have someone who seems to be, I mean, you can even physically see it. If someone's, their posture's bad, they're slumped over, they look depressed, and you see they're going on for a while, reach out to them. Can I take you for a cup of coffee? Can I call you? Can we go to a movie? Encourage them to open up. So I think absolutely number one, you need the people who seem to be susceptible, time, attention, caring, and be relentless about it, you know, relentless. And I firmly believe if we had known today what we know, if we had known then what we know today, I think we could have prevented my dad's suicide. I don't think we realized how how low he was. But if you encircle somebody and just get them to open up, get them to talk, and just be relentless about it, be caring, it could be several times a day, you can help to shift their mindset about feeling like the world would be better off without me, you know? And I think people just need love, and they need time, you know? That's really it. So, and they need, you know, people ask me, I became a full-blown Christian after this happened. I read the scripture every single day, and that helps a lot. So,
I think it does too. I think that does change your mind. But, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the society that we live in. We are so immersed in technology that we are either texting somebody, or we're on Facebook, or we're instant messaging, or, you know, and yet we don't have those deep face-to-face conversations that are really satisfying. And I think that's, you know, we're missing that. We're missing the deep warmth between people because you can't get it out of a text. In fact, an email is the best way to misunderstand someone because you can't see their facial expressions. You can't, there's no warmth there. I think one of the biggest things that I get concerned about is that we are so technology driven and we're stuck on it. We're hung on it.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And our kids have grown up being fully dependent on it. So they don't even know what it's like to have regular barbecue, you know, in the neighborhood. They don't know what that's like, right? For to help the whole family come together for the meal at 6 p.m. They don't. And I think it's up to us older, wiser people to turn this around, to turn it around. These kids in our society, they really are craving that human interaction. They were raised without a lot of it, and they're frustrated. And then when they get bombarded on social media with the school shootings and all the things that are going on, they feel overwhelmed. And it's up to us, I believe, to walk in love and walk in faith and as elders and wise people and say, look, you got a really good future ahead of you. Don't let anybody take that from you. No one. And just fight for these people, you know, whether it's the kids or the spouses. And there are things both online and in books that help to. I do listen to YouTube videos. There's a wonderful YouTube video by John Eckert, and it's Prayers to Root Demons. I also listen to Cindy Trim on YouTube, who does Atomic Prayer. So when you're feeling weak and you want to go out and be a prayer warrior, listen to that stuff morning, noon, and night, and it's going to get you revved up to just fight evil wherever you can.
I know I hear initially you said that one of the biggest things that you felt was guilt and that you felt like you should have prevented that. But I also hear you saying that we should do something. So, I mean, yeah, there's guilt, but then can you kind of show me where the line is? Because after it happens, you can't carry the guilt, but before it happens, you can do something. So, you know, where's the line there where we can kind of stand in comfort and know that we did what we could?
Let's see. I think talking to other people who've been through it is very helpful, because once you realize you're not alone and you come across somebody else who did everything they could. And I think having a child take their life is probably the worst, you know, because you're a parent, you're supposed to be protecting your child. So I think that, you know, in terms of the line, I think it might be different for all people. I had to process my guilt for a while, and then I thought, you know, you can't let that steal your future. You just can't, and you have to be compassionate with yourself and say, I did this, I did that, I did all these things. I did what I could. But then when you go out in the world, like I'm doing right now, and you see people who are struggling, and the people around them may not be as aware. Just get involved, you know, speak to the people, speak to the person who's struggling and take them aside. So you have, in terms of drawing the line, do it as soon as you can after the person takes their life, because you don't want any more lives to be taken. You don't want any more joy to be stolen. You know, just do whatever you can to grieve and be compassionate and loving and caring and share and just resolve not to let the darkness steal any more lives or life.
What about someone who is considering suicide? What would you say to them?
What I'd say to them is study whatever you can about the battlefield of the mind. There's many things out there. Joyce Meyer has audio CDs and tapes. Like I said, John Eckert has YouTube, Cindy. So what you're doing is you are trying to take back control of your mind, okay? Because there is that phrase, once the devil gets a foothold, he tries to just totally run wild with your life. So recognize that these thoughts really aren't from you. They aren't. They're evil trying to get a hold of your life. And identify them and kick them out. Separate them from your normal process thinking. And if you need help, go to your church, go to your family, go to your friends, say, look, I want to be more positive. I need to get these thoughts out of my mind. Can you please spend time with me and talk with me? Because the worst thing you want to do, is isolate yourself. When you isolate yourself, that's when I think these dark thoughts can bombard your mind and try to control it. So don't isolate yourself. Reach out.
Right. And I think it's Satan's lie that death is better than life. And obviously, as we've talked about, everybody around is devastated. So the person who commits suicide is really hurting a lot of people.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they are so focused on themselves that they don't see that. And I would encourage you, if you, one of our listening audience, are there considering suicide, run to Jesus. Run to the scripture. Fill your mind with truth. Remember that Jesus gave his life for you and that he loves you and that you're a special creation, that he has an abundant life for you to live. And don't end it early. I want to thank you, Christina Rose, for being with us. This was really helpful and really eye-opening. Christina Rose is working on a website. It's called ChristinaRose.org. If you would like to reach her, you can get her at her email. It's CM, as in May, Rose, 444@gmail.com. And I want to give a big thank you to you for being with us today and for sharing and going out there and ministering to people that are struggling.
Thank you so much. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is to fill your mind with scripture every day. Psalm 91, Psalm 139, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. First thing when you get up in the morning, rejoice. Rejoice always. Don't let the devil get a foothold. And we can conquer this. Until we know who the real enemy is, it's going to keep ravaging our society, you know. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Heart of the Matter Radio with Cynthia L. Simmons. Your comments and questions are always welcome. Contact us at cynthia@clsimmons.com. We'd love to hear from you, whether you're an author, young mom, a mother of teens, a homeschool mother, or an empty nester. Join us next time as Cynthia once again sets a path to grow in wisdom and a closer walk with the Savior, here on Heart of the Matter Radio.